Good afternoon. Good afternoon and happy podcast listening. This is How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Hollywood. I am Moya and my partner in crime is no one else but Miss Georgia. Georgia, how are you doing today?
Moya, I'm doing great. And it's so great to be here with you today for us to review Deception. What a juicy movie we're going to be doing today.
I love that word you just used, juicy, because it is juicy, isn't it? I mean, it is just pregnant with all kinds of, like our term, life lessons. You know, we try to use Hollywood, old classic Hollywood, as your life coach. You know, that's our motto. And this, if you don't learn anything from this movie, you don't want to learn anything, because Bette Davis is at her finest. So is Claude Rains. So is Paul Henreid. And the movie is gorgeous. The set designs, we're going to get into all that. The music, we've decided, is another character, is a fourth main character. So it is, again, one of those movies that Georgia and I feel everyone, not, and you know, we try not to do just what people may call women movies or something like that. This is also a guy movie too, don't you think, Georgia? Don't you think there's a lot of lessons a man can learn in this movie?
I do, because so much of it has to do with how men and women have a relationship and how they go wrong. And this is a suspense thriller. There's a noir feel to it that I think the guys might like. And yes, for the ladies, there's romance, there's drama, and there's murder. This movie has it all, and the best powerhouse performances you will probably ever see on the silver screen. So yeah, this movie's got it all in aces.
Yes. And this movie is how, well, the name of the movie again is Deception. It's 1946. It's from 1946. It's a Warner Brothers joint, and a joint, for those of y'all who not hipped to my jive, you know, it's a Warner Brothers movie. And Jack Warner, of course, one of Bette Davis' frenemies, and that's a whole nother conversation. They used to call Bette Davis what, the fourth Warner Brother, you know, because she was just such a powerhouse. She didn't take none of their crap, okay? Produced by Jack Warner. And who was the director again? I just looked it up. I forgot.
His last name was Rapper, R-A-P-P-E-R.
Yeah, Irving Rapper, correct. And so this is one of Bette Davis's, if you will, one of her early, you can really say, film noir, if not her first kind of film noir, because again, it's post World War II, it's 1946. So, you know, it's categorized as film noir, drama, a thriller. So I can't recall. I think this might be her kind of sort of entry into film noir. If can you think of another movie?
Actually, yes. I think The Letter has some noir elements.
Yes,
it.
Yes.
If you look at it, it's because the whole feel to it, it did have a noir feel. So I was, and that was in 1940. So
yeah,
this one. I think is probably you could definitely label this one as a noir.
Yeah.
So it's got that wonderful. Oh man, it's got that going for it too. It's the whole package.
Oh yeah. So we're gonna get right into it. And for those of you who've been listening, you know we do other movies. If this is your first time listening, is not always Bette Davis. It's just movies that Georgia and I and IMO. Why did I try to do that knowing I couldn't do it correctly? But anyway, in our opinion, you know, movies that we feel anyone who really sits down and looks at them critically and still enjoying yourself, there's a lot to be learned. And so that's why we picked Deception. And Georgia's Deception was not a huge hit. Am I correct?
You're exactly right. It did not make big box office.
Yeah, it lost a half a million dollars, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they did. They lost money on it. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was like her first flop with the Warner Brothers.
You're exactly right, Moya. I'm glad you remember it. But that is true, too. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And so I don't know if, you know, we found out that Barbara Stanwyck, Babs, she was supposed to originally play the role of Christine or Shotzi, as Henry's character liked to call her. But she was supposed to play it. I'm not really sure why she didn't do it. But George and I are huge Bette Davis fans. So after Bette Davis, Barbara Stanwyck is like probably my next hero of Hollywood and on screen. So not sure why she didn't do it, but she'd have been just as good to me. And I would never say that about anybody else in a Bette Davis movie, but yeah, Babs, because she'd have killed it.
Well, yeah, he probably would have done pretty well too. But, you know, but there's some scenes between Bette Davis and Claude Rains that are just electricity.
Oh, yeah.
To me. I mean, they're so dynamic. And yes, I mean, he could have gone toe-to-toe with any actress. But, you know, I felt that he got robbed in this movie because I thought that Claude Rains should have won Best Actor for his portrayal of the character Alexander Hellenius in this movie.
Yes.
So I could see Stanwyck, you know, because you would need like a really strong woman who could portray the whole range of emotions, but still have the chemistry and the interplay that these two had. It's unparalleled. I've never seen any scenes in all the many, many years that I've been watching movies. I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
What these two do together in their scenes. It's the two best actors in the business at the very top of their game, and they're having fun with it. You can tell they're loving every minute of this.
Oh yeah.
And they are just, and they are giving it everything they've got. And this is such a treat. You have, even if you don't see the movie for any other reason, this is the reason to watch it. The scenes between Bette Davis and Claude Rains. Claude Rains was a classically trained Shakespearean actor. In fact, he even coached Sir John Gielgud and was a mentor to him. Yes, he even did that. And so, you know, after playing in Shakespeare, and then he came to the U.S., and then he did such a range of great movies. But I think that he really was at the very top of his game in this movie right here because of the intelligence, the cunning, all the things that he brings to this character. It's really amazing. And then plus on top of that, you know, a genius musician and composer. So,
Rains was a musician himself?
He wasn't, but the way he plays it, he plays it so convincingly.
Oh, right. Oh, well, the man could play a vacuum.
His character is so.
Yeah, he could play a vacuum cleaner. You know, there's just those actors who are just so talented and so students of the craft and respectful of the craft that they, you know, you said, you brought up a point that those of you who've been following us and listening to us, you know, Skeffington, Mr. Skeffington was one of our first films that we podcasted, and he is the total opposite of Mr. Skeffington, right? You brought that up.
Oh, that's exactly how I would describe him. Exactly, Moya.
Without makeup, they, you know, they both look the same. You know, sometimes they put mustaches or beards or glasses on people, make it gain weight. They exact same dude, haircut and everything. Totally. I mean, it's scary how he and Bette Davis and people like can just transform themselves into totally different characters.
And even Bette Davis, she has a different look in this movie. It's a more, like after the war, the hairstyles and the clothing is different. It has more of a simple but more sleek kind of a look to it. And that's one of the things that I was noticing in this movie, the stylistic elements in it, which are absolutely amazing. And Moya, you and I both noticed it wasn't just the way they dressed and looked, but the sets were unbelievable.
Right.
Absolutely. It was just amazing, because if you understand the story, the set had a lot to do with it, because this is a woman who was in this apartment, and in the apartment there is this fabulous grand piano. There are these fabulous, priceless art pieces in there that are just in the style to them. It's like anybody would just, you know, give their right arm to have an apartment like that.
Right.
And it was so humongous, and it had this view of New York, but it was so huge you could have parked an airplane inside of it. I mean, it was stunning. It was stunning.
Right.
But you know, what I think probably before I go a little bit further, what I should do is really set up a little bit of what the whole the plot is about a little bit.
Sure.
So that,
right.
You can follow me a little bit better.
Right.
The story takes place shortly after the World War II has ended, and Betty Davis's character, Christine, has been the mistress, and she's been the protege of this genius musician, Alexander Hellanius. And she just, by chance meeting, she sees her old flame. He's also a musician, and he's a cellist, and she sees him playing in a concert hall, and they end up getting married very quickly. And that sets up the stage. She's got Hellanius, she's been having this long affair with him, and then she's newly married to this new man who comes to the picture. And, of course, how do you think the Claude Rains character, Hellanius, is going to take this? So that's how the movie is set up, and then the action happens from there. And that's where you get this really amazing set of circumstances that evolve from the characters and the circumstances.
Perfect setup. And then that brings us back to what I was saying earlier, because Betty Davis, you know, it's even though Skeffington and this movie Deception are there in two different time periods, but how these actors can transform themselves. Like I said, Betty Davis, obviously her hair is different, blah blah blah, but she and Claude Rains can play two totally. So I'm gonna just say Betty Davis is an idiot in this movie, and it's one of the rare times she's a freaking idiot. Oh, she's a moron. I mean, she's stupid. And I mean, you know, Betty Davis rarely plays. So in Skeffington, she was an airhead. You know, other times she was Rhymes with Witch. You know, in our other movies. But this is one of the rare occasions, and maybe that's why I didn't do too well, Georgia. I don't know, because people were maybe so used to seeing her being a witch, Rhymes with, you know, and or being really strong and, you know, level-headed. She was an absolute fool in this. And I loved it.
I
love it. I love seeing, you know, and like I said, so in Skeffington, my boy, he was, you know, very, Claude Rains was very kind and, you know, what have you. And then he's a devil, you know, a devil. Hellanius, that's not, I don't think that's a mistake. That's his name, you know. So when you see it spelled out, it's Hoellenius, something like that. But no, that's on purpose that this guy's name is Hellanius, because he's a devil. And we'll get into how he tortures Betty Davis's character. And to add to Georgia's trivia, this was originally a play, came out in 1928, a French play, and it has several names. It ran on Broadway for a short time under the name Obsessed or something like that. Didn't do well on A Great White Way. And I don't know why, because, you know, I'm not familiar with the writers. They're not household names, and maybe I'm just ignorant. I don't know these people. Maybe in the writing world people know these people, but anyway, I thought the movie was well written, well produced, well directed, and like, you know, we're going to get into the art direction and things. So I it's a mystery, and I guess I could look and see what the critics say. I don't care less what critics say, it's what the paying audience says that matters. And I don't, and maybe that's my theory, George. I think maybe it was just too much for the audience that she was so stupid. But she had a right to play that role. You know, because, you know, Betty, she wanted to diversify her portfolio. She was, that was the part of the beef that she had with the Warner Brothers. They wanted to keep making her play certain roles, and like roles she thought were, that were beneath her. So when she found the juicy role she could sink her teeth in, like this one, she took it and killed it, you know. So maybe that's the reason why it didn't do well. But going back also to what you were saying, so let's talk about the production design, because a fifth character after the music, and we'll get into the music, but we're going to skip that just for a quick second, is like Georgia was saying, the production, that the apartment. Soon as you see Christine's apartment, it is timeless. It is contemporary. You could have that apartment, like Georgia said, today. It is, they're in New York. You can see the skyline of, and I think maybe you can see the Brooklyn Bridge or something, but it's a gorgeous view of New York. Today, that apartment would probably cost you like tens of thousands a month, you know, because it is a studio apartment. And when you have to get off, you'll see you have to get off an elevator. In an elevator, you know, when you get off, it looks like you're going to the gallows, you know. And I think that they did that on purpose because, like I said, Christine is such a, and I hate to prejudice the audience, but I'm not really prejudicing you, because when you get to it, when you start watching it, in the first few frames, right, Georgia, you say, man, is she stupid? These are bad decisions, you know. So when they show outside the apartment, it does look like it has a gallows type feel, because she's hanging herself with every lie she tells. She is destroying herself. But the apartment was based on Andre Previn's actual apartment, the famous composer. And so that was the template for the apartment. And then Georgia mentioned the furnishings in it. So by her being a kept woman, Hellenius had provided all those furnishings, and all the decor. Isn't that right, Georgia? The artwork, isn't that correct?
That's exactly right.
And a set decoration was done by George James Hopkins, and he did that. And the art decoration was by Anton Grott, who was a 5-time Oscar nominee, and then he won at least once. So George and I are obsessed with the apartment. Some of the things in it, you know, they have a lot of artwork and stuff. So that becomes a bone of contention between dummy Christine. And so we talked about Christine's an idiot, Claude Rains, Hellenius, he's a devil. So how would you describe Paul Henry's Novick's? How would you describe him?
Well, at first kind of clueless, because he goes into this apartment, which is so much a key to this, and he starts noticing all these wonderful furnishings in this apartment, the artwork, and then her closet. She opens the closet, furs in her apartment.
Furs,
thinking,
yep.
furs. You know, and just, this man has just come from being detained in a concentration camp in World War II.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, then he goes to this fabulous luxury apartment with a view, so you can see how this apartment really becomes a part of the whole plot. And he starts to question, like, and how, and this is where the deception, the title of the movie begins. He starts asking her, and how did you get these things?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I give music lessons to rich people, mm-hmm. untalented kids. So he accepts that initially. Okay. At least he goes, okay, he wants to believe it.
He wants to believe it. Yes.
He wants to believe it. Yeah. And of course they want to get, and so they get married too, you know, really early on after this meeting. And so, yeah, this is where the deception continues, because instead of before getting married, how most people would do, they would say, well, you know, I have had this long-term relationship with so-and-so, but you're the one I love, and we're going to get married, and I'm not going to have anything to do with him anymore. Had she said that, we wouldn't have a movie, right?
Right, right.
But she tries to keep, but she is determined,
yes,
to protect her new husband. His name's Carol Novak, mm-hmm. played by Paul Henreid. She's she is determined to protect him from Hellenius, because Hellenius, you know, I mean, he offers to help him get started in his new career in America. And so that's where he becomes vulnerable, and Christine wants to protect him because she senses immediately that Claude Rains is out for revenge.
Right.
And when I'm talking about revenge, you see some scenes in there, like, for instance, when they're in the restaurant, and you can tell that Claude Rains, Hellenius' character, is trying to get him, is trying to unnerve him and get him off guard before he has his big concert. And you can see, she sees this happening, and she feels powerless to stop it. But the thing about Claude Rains, Hellenius' character, is that he has scenes with Bette Davis where he is not about to stop this horrible game that he's playing. In fact, you know, I mentioned at one point, it reminded me of him being a big cat playing with the mouse. You know, while he's like toying with it before he kills it. So
yes,
you get this feeling. That's where the suspense and the psychological thriller aspect of this really comes in, because you just have no idea how this is going to play out.
Right.
As angry as you may get at Bette Davis for being so stupid, I agree with you, Moy, on that. This is so stupid. You know, you secretly you're going, you know, you want her and her new husband to be okay and to live happily ever after.
No.
But with Hellenius in the picture, we don't know how that's going to pan out.
No, you may want, I do not, because I hate everybody except Hellenius. hell no, I don't want them to happen. They don't deserve any happiness. She's a fool. He's an opportunist. Look, can you tell I couldn't wait for you to, so I could tell you how I feel?
I can tell you were just tapping at the bit.
Because how dare he come there? You know, because they're long lost lovers. They knew each other, you know, before the war broke out, and, you know, the war separated and blah, blah, blah. And you know, dude, how dare you, you know, try to hold me up to some standard? And look, you were in a concentration camp, as horrific as it was. You knew pretty much I'm either going to be dead today or tomorrow. But for the women who were still out there, you had to survive. And so whatever, and yes, Hellenius and these type of men, you know, there's this, today's this issue of sex trafficking and grooming, and when you groom someone, you manipulate them through their needs and wants. You know, you offer them little drops of money or a place to stay all with under the guise of you're going to take care of them, but you want sex, or you want whatever, you're going to pimp them, okay? Whatever you want, sex is definitely going to be there. And so, you know, Hellenius did this to Christine, if you just want to be honest about it. You know, it took advantage of her, of a bad situation. So I always felt like, clown, how dare you? Because, and I love how Paul Henry, you know, we're talking so much about Bette and Claude, but Paul Henry played that well too. He was right between, because he obviously had PTSD from being in a concentration camp and, you know, that type of thing. So, of course, this guy is traumatized. And he says in the movie, she kept him alive. The hopes of seeing her again kept him alive. And that just condemned Bette Davis anymore. So you're absolutely right, Georgia. So she knew, hey, I cannot let this guy down. I have to keep myself on this pedestal and this virginal and this, you know, angelic type situation in his mind, you know. But you're so right. This is post World War II, you know, and they could have started with a clean slate. I won't ask you about your past and don't ask me about mine. But I love how Paul Henry played it, because he was borderline psychotic, in love, but he still knew he needed her through Hellenius to get what he needed. So he was a very complex character. You know, he kind of got overshadowed by Bette and Claude scenes, but no, Henry played that very well. He should have got a best supporting actor nod, you know, along with Claude Rains with Best Act. Claude Rains, and none of these people got nominated, but Claude Rains, I don't know, you know, we should have done our better homework, sorry. You know, with the Oscar situation, I can look it up, was in 1946. Or you listening, you can look it up and hit us up on Facebook and let us know that trivia that we're missing. But I don't know, you know, who won what that year. But, you know, a lot of time the Oscars is bunk, you know. But they should have at least been nominated, in my opinion. Henriette and Rains.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that Rains should have won. I don't know anybody who could have matched his acting in that movie. But Moya, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm so glad you brought that out about Paul Henreid's talent in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He played with Bette Davis before,
right.
and just because he doesn't seem to have the huge emotional impact scenes with Bette Davis does not diminish the role he plays in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered about the storyline, you know, him surviving the concentration camp, the horrors of World War II,
mm-hmm.
and him coming back, and then him, would he have been up to handling the truth about her relationship with Helenius,
mm-hmm.
you know, if that were ever, you know, I mean, but it's things start to, I think things are dawning on him. They are. And, but man, and I tell you, Bette Davis, I mean, she, the more she keeps trying to cover this up, the bigger the hole she just digs for herself in this movie. And
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things that makes it pretty fascinating. So you're going to see, because this is a movie where you wonder, you know, how does she finally resolve this? And, you know, because Helenius seems like he's out of control, and he's just waiting for the moment when he's going to have the big reveal
mm-hmm.
to Carol Novak, you know, to Paul Henreid, and you're waiting for that, and then you're going to see at the end how this all plays out.
Right.
And so it's one of those movies where it's a psychological suspense thriller. You've got a crime. You've got passion. You've got so much in this movie that's what shocked me, why it didn't do better at the box office, because you've got such power, the best powerhouse actors of the day. But this movie is such a treat. You really have to see Bette Davis, because she is at her very best in this movie.
Right. I totally agree. And, I just looked it up. Ray Milland, actually won for The Lost Weekend, and he deserved it. He was freaking great in that, for those of you who haven't seen it. Georgia, have you seen The Lost Weekend?
No, but that's on my list of must-see movies.
Okay,
Lost Weekend, and they play it a lot on CGM, and I gotta watch that.
If Rains were gonna lose to anybody, well, Rains wasn't even nominated, which, like I said, that's a tragedy within itself. A travesty, not so much a tragedy, a travesty. But if he would have been nominated and lost to Milan and that, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. And Betty was not nominated, but guess who won that year for Best Actress?
Who?
Joan Crawford.
Oh my gosh.
For Mildred Pierce, girl. Oh my gosh.
Oh my word.
And she won, because that was her first movie, I believe, for Warner Brothers, and she won. So that's all. That was all kind of shade. And look, in my mind, shade. just the shade of it all. But yeah. So anyway, that happened. But something else, Georgia and I were talking about when we were talking about this movie, that the scenes between Bette Davis and Claude Rains. Anyone who's interested in acting, they have to, it's an actor studio. They have to look at this to learn how to not overplay a scene, how to keep a rhythm going, because it's like you're not really looking at a movie. You are watching some very interesting people's lives unfold right before you. And you might as well just get your cigarette, get your tea, get your popcorn, and just sit down and enjoy, okay? And so because all the people involved are such masters at their craft, it is an actor's studio. And especially the ones between Hellenius and Christine, just absolutely fabulous. There is an ending to all of this. We will not say it because it is a spoiler, but we will absolutely not divulge that to you. So Georgia, I mean, that's about it on my end for Deception. Is there anything we left out of? Because if we keep talking,
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, if we keep talking, we're gonna leave out. I mean, we're gonna give it away. So, you know, we don't want to give away too much. But yeah, that is it for Deception. Please look forward. Shout out to TCM again, Turner Classic Movies. They showed it. We watched it. We totally appreciate them for that. And we don't know what our next movie. No, I think we do know. Is it The Letter? Is that our next movie?
Yeah, let's do The Letter.
Okay,
yeah.
So guys, the next time we're all together, we'll be discussing Miss Betty Davis again, with the wonderful one of her favorite co-stars. To me, in my opinion, a really underrated Herbert Marshall. They're in The Letter. It's a remake of a Gene Eagles remake from back in the day. Gosh, please. So look, this is our first time, I think, actually telling you what our next movie is. So if you can find The Letter, I don't know if you're subscribed to TCM or if you stream or whatever, and it's in their library and you can look at it, please look at it. Our next podcast will be in about 2 weeks from today. Look at it, listen, subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel. Like us on Facebook, How Betty Davis Saved My Life. Comment, holler at us. We love it. We love your feedback. So for How Betty Davis Saved My Life, this is Moya.
And this is Georgia.
And we will see you all next time. And remember, always be the star in your own show. Take care, guys. See you next time. And Shaka, take us out.